the mentality I've had since I was in high school was like throw the ball as hard as you can all the time. That's the highest chance of you playing college, the highest chance of you playing pro. You get hurt, you got good doctors. Like, that's been the mentality for such a long time.
So you wouldn't have changed one route of your path?
No, I wouldn't change it at all. You want to know, because the times when I didn't go after velocity, I didn't go after all that stuff, I had a 7.7 ERA. I've never been Greg Maddux. I've never been able to, I've always struggled with command until like relatively recently, my last few years. I think the decision of throwing hard and getting hurt is going to win every single time. And the only negative side is lose time, you can't contribute to your team, and then you're out for like a year. Like, I think that's everyone is going to take throw hard, get hurt, make money type of, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like logically, that's just the choice everyone's going to make.
That's the essence of the Chris Rose Rotation podcast right there. You get Tyler Glasnow and others in moments of that kind of candor and self-awareness, which is what that kind of long-form stuff is able to bring out. The host of it, the eponymous Chris Rose, is with us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino, CircaLasVegas.com. He's on Twitter, at Chris Rose, also the host of Baseball Today. Hello, sir. How you been?
That was a very Duke word you used when you introduced me.
He can't stop doing it, Chris.
I mean, it's just incredible. It just did not stop with this guy. For people that don't know,
stop it.
And it's been a while since I've been on the show, Dan and I shared a camp cabin.
A bunk.
Exactly. I was on the top bunk as a CIT when you were a junior counselor. I believe it was cabin J2.
Sure was.
In 1987.
That'd be 88. I think that was my last year. I think that was
one of those.
Now,
it was one of those.
You want to feel old? You want to really feel old?
So
last weekend, our son is transferring. He started out at Bucknell University, and he's transferring for next fall. And he got into Tulane, and he went down to visit Tulane. You know, there's always been a big North Star contingent down there. This past Saturday night, he stayed on an air mattress on the floor of one Ollie Katz, the son of your guy Jeff Katz.
Pretty good.
That's, I mean, now we're now, because I think you and Jeff are the same age, and also both Clevelanders. So,
yes, well, both Clevelanders.
Yep.
I don't know if we're the same age, but right around there. Yeah,
yeah.
The North Star connections are infinite.
Yeah.
They really are. But I can't imagine that's what your audience is tuning in for.
Well, yeah, you never know.
You don't know our audience. There's a lot of them here.
You never know. That could be the case. I really, like, I was like, hey, did you and Chris have beef? Like,
No.
He should be on the show more often. And the reason I said that, Chris, is that I enjoyed you explaining what an eclipse was last week.
Yes.
When you have to explain it to people who are going to be on the field during it, I thought that was top-notch stuff.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what we do on the Chris Rose Rotation. So one of our regulars is Guardians catcher Austin Hedges, who is a wonderful personality, but he is not going to be splitting atoms anytime soon, and that's by his own accord. And so the Guardians home opener was last Monday, so 8 days ago, during the eclipse. And I said, hey, the eclipse is going to be happening. In fact, they moved your game. First pitch was supposed to be at some point during the eclipse. They moved it to 2 hours later. And I said, just make sure that when you're out there during batting practice that you're wearing my protective eyewear. And he's like, why? It's like, what? Really? Like, you don't know this whole thing? He's like, I don't even know what happens during an eclipse. So I was like, oh, perfect. So we went over this stuff that you should have gone over in the latest, probably fifth grade.
There's been a bunch of good stuff already with Lucas Giolito, and especially now that he's out for the year with a little bit of time on his hands before he dives into rehab here. I'll be curious to know he'll have time to watch more games and be maybe more of on the spectator observer media side this year. It could be fascinating.
Yeah, in fact, I'm supposed to catch up with him, I believe, tomorrow is when our first episode is since his surgery. And it's like I talked to him probably a week before word got out that he was going to be done for the year. And he didn't say a thing. He was like, listen, I feel great. Like, I'm back. So I'll be curious to see what the timeline was between our discussion in February and him having to go under the knife for the second time in his career. you know, he's one of these guys that's going to try and bounce back. It doesn't sound like it was the exact same surgery that he had after Washington took him in the first round, but it's something similar, and I'm happy he signed a two-year deal with Boston. That's all I can say is that hopefully he gets back early next year and is able to kind of reestablish himself, because people there in Chicago know that he was very good when he got to the top of his game, and he is an excellent human being. And so I know a lot of people are rooting for him there in the Windy City.
Yeah, a lot. I mean, he's just a real gentleman and someone that we really liked here. And I'm glad that he escaped what is the madness with the White Sox, but that's for another time. Since you brought it up, I'd love to know, you're talking to people that are in it and around it every day. What do they say about the what seems like, and the data doesn't necessarily back that up, but it seems like there is injury after injury with pitching. What conclusions have you had? Have you come to in talking to folks that are inside the game about it?
So, on the Chris Rose rotation, we have a half dozen active players as our rotating group of co-hosts. Lucas is one of them. Tyler Glass now is another one. Logan Webb of the Giants is one. We have a bunch of pitchers on our staff. And Chris Bassett has been very vocal about it, of the Blue Jays is another one. And they all have differing opinions. Glass now is a guy that really kind of woke me up. I am the father of two sons, one of whom is 18 years old and is a baseball player and a pitcher. And when he was 16, he said, "Dad, I think I want to go pitch in college. And I think I want to go down to one of these throwing academies, if you will." And so there's one 30-ish miles from our house, and we would take him there a bunch of times during the summer, several times per week. And he would be in the middle of this testosterone-filled, you know, place where there's guys ranging from age probably 14 to their mid-20s, if not even a little bit older, all of them trying to increase their velocity, increase their spin rate. And I didn't have a problem with it. They were nice people who seemingly took good care of these kids. And here he is trying to increase his velocity, because as a freshman, he threw in the low 80s, had a good build. And I was like, okay, by the time you're a senior, you might be able to throw upper 80s, maybe even touch 90. And if you want to go pitch at the next level, that's what you're going to need to do. And he couldn't continue doing it during his junior year, because as you guys know, your junior year in high school is demonic. It is cruel what they throw on those kids. So he just didn't have time to go do it. I didn't have a problem with the place at the time, but I was like, God, is this like abuse, what I'm doing to my son? It was something I really wrestled with. And I brought that story up to Tyler. And Tyler knows our son a little bit. He's gotten to talk baseball with him. And he was like, no, it's not. Like, Brady's the one who decided to go do it. You didn't force it on him. In fact, play it out the other way. If you had said, no, I don't think that's the right destination for you, what if that's the thing that prevents him from not getting a college scholarship or getting being able to chase his dream or something? Like, who are you as a parent to tell him not to do it? And his point was, it's an arm. It's not your brain. It's not your knee. It's not your back. And the surgery is great. So I've kind of gone back and forth on this. And I think Glass now in this latest episode, and you heard the clip at the beginning here of our segment, kind of got me thinking that it's whatever you want to do. Now, do I have a problem with kids at 8 years old who are doing it? Yes. But when you're in high school and you're starting to kind of throw, maybe I don't have a problem with it.
It's so interesting. We went through the same thing with our son, who is a college club level pitcher. And when we had to make the decision and talking to coaches, like, hey, you know, he could get a D3 offer somewhere. You know,
right.
And he said, this is about, you know, what he is. And do you want to start going? That meant the showcases, and that meant doing that whole track that a couple of his teammates are doing. And he had one of his best friends went out to Seattle, went to Driveline, came back with hundreds of dollars of weighted balls and bands and everything they sold him out there. And he got his D3 offer, and now is waiting to be slated for his elbow surgery. And our kid said, nah. He just said, you know what? No. He said, baseball's awesome and it's fun and I'll play men's league sometime. He said, I want to go to college. Right. Like, okay, great. Whatever. All good.
Right, but that's a great point, Dan, is that everybody's journey is a little bit different. Brady's been playing with a kid since 6 years old. And when he became a freshman, he followed in Giolito. He goes to Harvard Westlake. So it's the pitching factory that produced Max Fried and Jack Flaherty and Lucas and all these other guys.
Ethan Katz,
exactly. And when he was 16, he had Tommy John. And guess what? Next year, he'll be pitching at Wake Forest. Mm. And he throws in the upper 90s. So as I said, everybody's journey is different. You have to decide as a family what is right for you and your kids moving forward. But I think I do. Like I said, I've gone back and forth on this. I don't have a perfect answer. Is there a problem? Yes, because I want to see Spencer Strider and Shane Bieber and Yuri Perez and all these guys throw baseballs. I don't want to hear about their rehab. I want to see them pitch. But at the same time, I don't know if baseball wants to do anything because it could keep salaries down. And I know they're interested in doing that.
Chris, what's going on with the uniforms, man? I mean, we can't get deliveries.
You're asking the guy who wears the same T-shirt about 6 days a week. So maybe I'm not the right guy to answer, but the Casey Schmidt photo is one I can't get out of my head for the Giants. Like, that is, I'm sorry, that is indelibly scarred on my brain forever. And poor Riley Green. He got air conditioning on a slide. It's tough.
Yeah, like seeing the whole pant just blow up. Like,
isn't that great? He's got to pop his head out. It's like he's at a travel ball game. You know, when he's 14 in the summer, he's like, "Hey, mom, I got a rip. Did you bring an extra pair?" You know, like, how rough is that?
Chris, I wanted to ask you too, with this experience that you're having, really getting to know so many of these athletes, and particularly pitchers, who I find to be more thoughtful than position players in general, maybe just because of the nature of their job and sort of initiating action rather than reacting to it. But one thing we're learning across sports, and certainly here in Chicago with what we've heard from the football players we talked to, the basketball players, and I know Lucas Giolito has talked about it, about mental health and about a much greater awareness and a destigmatization about the daily grind of maintaining one's mental health. Is that been a topic of conversation? Is that something that players that you find are more comfortable discussing, that we're really sort of breaking some of the old calcified stigmas around talking about such things in baseball?
Yes, on one hand, absolutely, Dan. I think we have made a lot of progress in this country about being able to talk about it, right? If you would never mention – never mention if you ever went to see a therapist. I don't care what profession you were in. You just didn't want that out there. And now if you mention it, it's like, great, good. Go talk to somebody who's outside of your family scope or your little friend group that gets a fresh set of eyes and ears on thing. I think that's very healthy. Personally, I've been in and out of therapy since I was a little kid, and there wasn't one thing that ever took me there, and I've never been ashamed to say it. I feel like I've been strong in that area because I talk to our kids about it all the time. I was like, you know, and we have a great relationship with our boys. We're really fortunate. They don't do everything right, but we feel like we have open lines of communication. And so I feel like that's so important. And I think that is being passed down. Now, with that being said, there is still a stigma, and it's not so much attached to mental health, but it's a softness that is perceived by teammates. Particularly in this sport. And I think it's a lot of it is guys our age, right, that played within the last 10 to 15 years. And they're like, oh, those guys are so soft. They're so, like, I sit there and I'm like, you know, the explanation for baseball, when guys get hit by pitches intentionally, the answer, why does that happen? Well, because that's the way it's always been. I'm like, oh, so you come from the school where you can't think for yourself. Like, is that how you go through life? You can't think for yourself? That makes you soft, in my opinion. Stand up. You think something's right? Something's bothering you? Say it. You can't say it. That's not the way it's done here in the clubhouse. That's weird. It's so weird. So on one hand, yes, I feel like as a society, We have made progress, but not entirely.
I would agree. Chris, this was delightful. Thank you so much for your time.
That's all the time we got? What, do we have to pay some bills?
Yeah, we got to pay bills. We got a, there's a big night for us here in Chicago with the WNBA draft. We're getting ready to have a guest on and talk about that, too.
I love that. That was awesome. I didn't watch the full thing because I have to immerse myself in baseball, but I saw all the clips, and I thought it was great. I thought it was great. I hope the enthusiasm carries on well past Caitlin Clark in the college years and with her in the WNBA.
Absolutely. That's kind of the next thing that we're getting ready to talk about. So thanks for programming the show, and we appreciate it. And thank you for putting up with Dan, because, you know, now that I have to deal with it every day, I understand how difficult it is. So
I didn't say I got past it. I just said
I
did it.
No one gets past it.
Well, that's why Chris is in therapy. He just didn't want to name you as the reason that that's what was going on.
It's all right.
I'm not a finger pointer. By the way, is your son transferring to Tulane because of a better NIL deal?
That's been the running joke. He had to get out of the middle of nowhere. I would say this, that the kids who grow up in the city, kids who take the red line to high school every day, and you put them in the middle of the mountains in the middle of nowhere, and they realize, oh, there's nothing happening here. And it all sounded good, and it looks good on postcards, but when it comes time to living that life, it is harder than they can imagine sometimes.
Go Deerfield. Isn't that where you went?
Yes. Not the city. So I was raised a Deerfield kid. He was raised an actual city kid.
His kid beats him up for money.
Believe me, who doesn't? That's a long line of people.
Yep, it's just the threat of it now. He doesn't even have to touch me anymore.
All right, boys.
Thanks, Chris.
Good catching up.
See ya.
Thank you.
That is Chris Rose of the Chris Rose Rotation Podcast.
Annie Costable is going to be on the show.
Next.
Yeah. Don't go anywhere, because we've got all sorts of questions to ask her about the new look Chicago Sky. That's next on The Score.
That was a very Duke word you used.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
In Odyssey Station, Odyssey Station, Odyssey Station.
With the first pick in the 2024 WNBA Draft, the Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
That's about as surprising as what the NFL draft is going to bring. The fait accompli will be here as it was there. But cool times, big stuff going on in the WNBA, and an impressive night for them. Here to talk about it with the voice she has left is Annie Costable, Sun-Times writer covering the Sky and the WNBA, on Twitter at Annie Costable, and with us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. How's it going, Annie?
Guys, thank you for having me. Also, I love that you brought me in to some Bad Bunny music in the background. Mm-hmm. I am doing my best. Lawrence, can you stop laughing at me? People can't hear me.
My bad.
Stop laughing. Let me talk. No one can hear me when you're laughing over me.
I love it.
Go ahead, make your joke.
No, look, I had a blowout on the air a couple months ago.
God.
I had to leave the show because I couldn't talk. You're talking way better than what I was. Sorry about that, Annie. Love you dearly.
I love to hear myself talk, and this is the situation I get in. You know, I like talk too much, and then I come up with a hoarse voice. So it's comes with the job.
How great was last night?
Oh, my God. It wasn't even just last night. It was from start to finish, being in Brooklyn this weekend, the coverage, the everything that we were able to get done at the Sun-Times. I'm first and foremost just so proud. We had a live blog. I checked in with local designer Robin Harris, who was styling draftees. I caught up with Nadia Rawlinson, chairwoman and co-owner of The Sky, and then, you know, obviously made it to the draft. And the attention and fandom surrounding the WNBA right now is oh my God, immeasurable. It's to see fans lined up outside of the draft, to see fans lined up outside of the Empire State Building at 9 a.m. to catch a glimpse of these players. It was giving professional sports league.
Well, it's funny that you brought up like talking to a stylist, because Dan and I were having this discussion and we were sitting there kind of going, wait, is the question we're getting ready to ask like misogynistic? Here's what I want to know from you. Why does it seem like that the women are better put together at the draft than the men are when it comes to what they're wearing?
You know what? I don't think this is a misogynistic question. And I think it honestly is a discussion to have to like open up thoughts on why, you know, so many business opportunities have been missed when it comes to women, because women are so multifaceted, and this is not to shade either one of you, but women just come with more opportunities. You know, like when you think about what goes into preparation for something like the draft, it is hair, it is makeup, it is an entire look. Some of them had two looks. And when you think about that from a business perspective, from a brand perspective, these are all opportunities to connect with brands, to connect with, you know, whether it's a clothing brand or a makeup brand or a face cream brand, whatever it is.
It's hair like, care.
These are hair care. Exactly. These are doors that are more accessible to women. And honestly, that's sexist too, because why can't a man talk about his brand deals with a nail polish company? Who is it at Duke? Who he has an NIL
McCain
deal with? Exactly. So it's like, yes, I think women have historically done this better in terms of style and fashion and makeup and all of these things. But I do think, again, it's a conversation to have on both sides, because these are the brand opportunities that should be available to women for sure. But women and men, why not?
I also think that the WNBA will have to sort out its own cultural divide on that issue, too, and try to set the example from the inside out. Because, Annie, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Skylar Diggins run into some resentment for touching up her makeup at halftime of a game or caring about how it looked? That there are some people who are going to embrace that. And in the locker rooms, even on some benches, there's still that, oh, you know what? If you practice as hard as you cared about your makeup kind of thing. So I do think that there it's got to be streamlined and everybody's got to be on board before it's really successful being pushed outwardly, as you say.
No, I see. I disagree with you there. I don't know exactly what situation you're talking about with Skylar. I have no insight on that. I can't recall what that situation was. But my opinion on it is each team is filled with players who have a different identity, a different style, they present themselves in different ways. And that's what's so beautiful about the WNBA is everyone's represented. And within each organization, that's what needs to be established, is there's respect for the way everyone is showing up. Fans might not get it. That might be the easiest thing for fans to come at is, oh, so-and-so is showing up in this way. It must mean she doesn't care about the game as much. But no. That's inaccurate. I think the game is the game, and who you are off the court is who you are off the court. And if those mix, great. But it doesn't take away from a player's ability or what they bring to the court. I think maybe we'll see opinions on that, but I think the league's already doing a great job of embracing the way that players show up. They haven't always, let me say that. Historically, this league has not always done that. We're in a moment right now where players are showing up authentically, and it's in large part because they've pushed the needle. They've made that effort. They've fought to show up as themselves, even when it wasn't trendy to do so.
Oh, I agree. I definitely agree with making sure that it's cool. And because the NBA fought it too. The NBA had all of these guys making their fashion statements and showing up in haute couture designed by their friends, and who do they think they are? When, hell, you know, Kevin Durant would still wear his sweats from home and not even comb his hair, and he didn't care, and then he just carries himself differently. As long as the message is we are able to contain multitudes of people representing all kinds of different true selves, then that's the win.
Totally. And to that point, like I was talking to a friend recently, he's in, you know, the basketball space as well. And, and we were having that discussion about how the NBA, these tunnel fits have taken over, right? And he was being really harsh. He was like, what did he say? He said something along the lines of like, some guys take their outfits more serious than their game. And I was like, yeah, but you know, these are business opportunities for them. And people may not like that, but if they're still doing, it's like, okay, look at my job. For example, I'm a traditional print writer, right? But I have all these other things that I like to do, including fashion, including, you know, just all these other lanes you want to tap into. And as long as like my print flow isn't suffering at the expense of these other things, I think why not be multidimensional?
Yep. And making us all look bad when we show up to the United Center and you're there because you're always dressed really, really well. And the rest of us look like slobs. Now, let's talk a little bit about the basketball of this. Is it fair to wonder, and is it fair to say that the Sky targeted Angel Reese and that's why they moved from 8 to 7 in the draft?
Oh, yeah. No, that's exactly what they did. They wanted Angel, and they got her. That's totally fair, Lawrence. Way to go.
All right, so let's talk about her and Camilla as front court partners. I feel like this has an opportunity to be a really good partnership with those two because they're fierce competitors. They're both great rebounders. How does this work with touches for them?
Okay, so this is so interesting and so going to be so fun to watch develop, right? Because the reality is this isn't – I know fans are so excited and they should be – but this isn't an immediate turnaround. You know, the Sky have a lot of work to do to develop these two players. This year, their roster is really strong in the front court. And I'm not saying that to say, like, Camilla and Angel aren't going to play. Of course they're going to play. But they're going to be learning from other vets in this league that have already, solidified their names in this league. Elizabeth Williams is one of them. And I think the other interesting part about this tandem is neither of them have a three-point game. And when we watch or when we look at the way that basketball is evolving, the game is evolving, it's a positionless game or it's becoming a positionless game. So it makes these selections a little bit like, wait, what are you guys doing here? But that's the thing. I think this is the identity that this guy want to have. They want to be tough. They want to be these gritty. God, who was it? I think it was Ricky O'Donnell. He compared them to some like vintage NBA team, and I'm gonna botch it, so I'm not gonna mess it up. But go check out his Twitter. He posted a great tweet, and I agreed with it. Anyways, this is gonna be a physical, dominant inside base team, and I think you know when it comes to Camilla and Angel's development, that's gonna determine the touches, like you said. And I think they're both going to need to expand their game outside of the paint.
Is Brenna Maxwell gonna make this team?
I think that's a great question. I think it's one that, like, I don't even have the answer to right now. But the reason why it's a great question is because, you know, when you look at the draft, I mean, the second round of the NBA gets tough, too. But in the WNBA, we know there's only 12 roster spots, and most teams only carry 11 because of the hard salary cap. So for a player like Brenna, she's coming into a roster that's at 14. And they're at 15, and they're only going to be able to carry 12. So when you look at their training camp players, two of those training camp players can really excel during training camp. And if they do, then those training camp contracts they're on right now are going to be turned into, full season contracts. And in that case, we're going to see someone like Brenna not make the roster. But if she comes into training camp and shows out what her skill set brings is she's a shooter. Her efficiency from the 3-point line is excellent. And so if she can really hone that skill set and improve herself invaluable on this roster, then they'll keep her.
All right, Annie, go get yourself a Starbucks medicine ball and rest your voice.
Annie, we appreciate you soldiering through this. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys. I love coming on.
That's Annie Costable of the Chicago Sun-Times.
Just toughing it out, sitting there in her hotel room, toughing it out for us.
Report here coming in from CBS Chicago. Ayo Dosunmu, who missed the last four games with a right quad contusion, says he is feeling better. hopes to play against the Hawks, will assess tomorrow after treatment. Hope's swelling continues to move in the right direction. Sprinting at top speed is his last hurdle. Billy Donovan said Andre Drummond did not practice and still has some swelling in his ankle, so that is not trending in a great direction.
Do you know who we can ask about that?
Who?
Our partner.
Because Layla's covering.
She's there today.
Today.
Yeah, so tomorrow, we can get a full report.
Ahead of the game tomorrow night when the Bulls take on the Hawks at United Center in the NBA play-in tournament. Pre-game coverage begins at 8:15, tip-off 8:30. The only local broadcast of the game can be heard on 670 The Score and in Chicagoland on the free Odyssey app. Studs has been teasing us with the content for our next segment.
We are going to dive into the endless well of content that is the Kelce Brothers podcast.
That is next on The Score.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Hey, who wants to play Drink the Beer?
Right here.
You win.
All right, what do I win?
Another beer.
Oh, I'm going for the high score.
When we have draft coverage on The Score, it is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. So what did we harvest from the Kelce brothers? My guess is it's something about their public behavior of recent note.
It's adjacent to that. So they had Saquon Barkley on the New Heights pod, and they got into a discussion about who can drink more beer.
Yeah, I had a drinking contest. Who's winning?
At a drinking contest, I'm pretty sure I've beaten Jason the last 3 to 5 times.
This is completely made up. First of all, what's the competition? We're talking about chugging a beer?
Chugging and then like toe-to-toe. Who's calling quits?
Yeah, I can definitely drink more volume. I don't even think that's a question.
What?
Yeah.
What? You're already down to 260.
283 this morning.
283? All right, still. We're in the same weight class now.
You don't have the heart that I do when it comes to drinking.
Whoa, I don't think you heard that. He said you don't have the heart when it comes to drinking.
What?
You've been drinking more than I have recently.
He hasn't stayed out past 10 p.m. since 2017. Mm. There's no way.
Do you not see me at your playoff games?
Do you remember any of that?
Whoa.
No, because I was drinking all day.
This is good. I love the back and forth.
We're going to have to get to the bottom of this.
I want that invite.
I think drinking games, I will destroy him because I got the mental advantage.
What?
What drinking game?
You're not beating me in Pong.
I'm the older brother. Beer Pong, I'm not beating you in, for sure.
If you got a shotgun of beer, who's winning?
I'm smoking them.
Well, the last time we shotgun won, Travis cheated. He threw it down before it was entered.
What game was that? Was it Bills?
We didn't shotgun a beer after the Bills game, did we?
See, this is...
I don't remember much at the end of the Bills.
I knew you didn't remember.
I was at the Big Tree Inn all game.
Yeah.
I drank a beer. I drank another beer. 3 beers. 4 beers.
Oh, no.
5 beers.
Oh, no.
6 beers. 7 beers. 8 beers. 9 beers. And a Bloody Mary.
And a stuffed cabbage. A
little Stone Cold in there.
My favorite part of the Stone Cold thing is Jerry the King Lawler.
Ah! I love that Saquon was enjoying being the instigator in there. Also, yet another offensive lineman who immediately dropped 40 pounds. Just quit playing. Did you hear that? He went from 283 to 260 or whatever. Immediately lost 40 pounds.
Well, when you're not inhaling, probably 4,000 calories a day?
I bet it's 10,000 calories a day for a guy like Jason Kelce.
Their bodies are just not made to carry the weight that they carry.
You're going to see Jason Kelce in a year and be like, who is that?
Yep.
Who is that handsome middle-aged man? And you'll be like, oh, that's Jason Kelce.
First ballot Hall of Fame center, Jason Kelce.
That's an NFL center?
Right.
Yep.
Look, have you seen Joe Thomas? Joe Thomas doesn't look anything like Joe Thomas anymore.
And he already made the People magazine Sexiest Man Alive issue before dropping the weight. How about that?
Yeah, but I think
it doesn't seem fair. At least wait till he loses the weight.
No, I think that was kind
that was
of
part
the,
of the
bit.
Yeah, it was part of it was this the big rough and
the
tumble.
Everyman.
Yes,
like,
this is me playing into the bit.
Here's his
beard.
Yeah,
wait till he shaves the beard and goes all glam and tight fitting suits and all
go
that stuff.
Go get him, baby.
I've seen it. I've seen it happen.
I think that Jason's right. If they were doing games, he wins. If it's straight chugging, I'm going to go Travis.
But again, a lot of it, it's different. Like over time, like, is it full amount? Are you doing a beer funnel down two flights of stairs? Like, there's different things here.
I don't know.
And that, being good at a drinking game, that's just a skill of being good at a game independent of the drinking.
Well, no, because if you're drunk while you're doing it, then there's a different, it's a different skill set.
Right, but that's also, sometimes that helps. That's like, for me, bowling.
See, exactly.
Bowling for me. But
No. I'm not talking three and about five an beers. Activity after they drink. I'm saying an actual drinking game.
Right, but the drinking impairs you in the drinking game, and sometimes things spiral out of control.
That's why I'm going with Jason in that matchup. Also, it's a big cultural thing. When I got to college, I was like, what are you guys doing?
What, the whole stupid white guy thing?
Your words, not mine.
Oh, no, it's a total stupid white guy
thing. But I was like, why aren't we just like, if, because I didn't have my first drink until I was 21. But I'm like, if you want to drink, then why not drink?
Because we're playing Whale's Tales and Zoom Schwartz for Figliano.
Yeah, I was never introduced to drinking games with my Mexican friends. It was the white kids.
Yeah.
Yeah,
your boys were like, would you like a beer?
And hang out and talk and stuff like that.
I always thought that was interesting. I don't know why. Is there some sort of like Puritan? Does this connect back
come to the
like,
Mayflower? They're playing speed quarters?
No, I mean, I don't mean the games, but like the idea of it was verboten and now.
Woody Osborne has won victory over the devil.
Just saying.
Dancing. That's a big part of the drink and dance.
Drinking to dance.
Right.
Instead of drinking and dancing.
Or not wrapping our hands in duct tape and duct tape in the 40s to
Edward
our hands.
40
Edward 40 hands,
here.
Baby.
Speaking of which,
Hell
Parkins
yeah.
and Spiegel are here next on The Score.